This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Everybody see what's on the cover of your worship guide today? Got to explain what that is. Remember the little, the Vav? Remember that? Everyone makes fun of me because I say that word, Vav. But would you prefer the railroad spike? Okay, would you prefer that? It's in the floor next door. I think that's the coolest picture. And I tell you what, man, something was activated when that thing went in the floor. And we're feeling the effects of it today. Glory to God. If you're new, welcome. I'm Tim, the lead pastor here. Love to meet you. I've got a gift for you in the East Lobby. There's a little card in your offering bucket when it goes by here in a second. You can pull that out, fill it out, bring it to me, and I will exchange it for a lovely gift. Speaking of lovely gifts, was not Sarah McInnes a lovely gift to this house last Sunday? Wow. How many of you were here for second service? That was a moment, wasn't it? We will never forget that moment. I'm so glad to be connected to a house for girls rescued from sex trafficking. We're connected to that now in Tennessee. And Krista had an amazing just gift she gave to the women last week in this beautiful mug. And you can get yours today. If you didn't get one last week, anyone can get one today. They're $10 out at the information desk until they're gone. Well, supplies last. So grab yours before they're gone, all right? Let me also tell you that tonight at 5 o'clock, I said this first service, and I'm going to say it again. I hope I'm not hyping. You can only pull this card so many times, right? Okay? So I'm pulling it today. I believe that tonight may be the most significant meeting we've had in 9 years of pastoring. It's an owners meeting, but it's not exclusive to owners of the church. Owners are our members, you know, people that have stepped up and said we're official members. But if you love Restoration and you carry this house in your heart, I want you here. 5 o'clock tonight, we're going to talk about a next step for our church. And I believe it's significant to where we're going, but more importantly, significant to who we are, who we're supposed to be. So 5 o'clock, if you can be here, that would be great, followed by sanctuary at 6:30. Next Sunday, we're doing baptism, water baptism. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of people signed up. Some signed up even after first service. In your worship guide, there's a little sign-up sheet. If you've never been water baptized, listen, it's not your salvation, but what it does is it's an outward symbol of what's happened on the inside of you. If you've never obeyed Jesus in water baptism, he did it, right? Jesus was water baptized. So I think it'd probably be good to follow in his footsteps and to get a little wet and declare to the world that you're a follower of Jesus. That's next Sunday. We'll probably do it in between services, so you have to come a little earlier. So if you come like about 10:20 or enough time to get changed if you're doing that. Last time we had baptism, I got to tell you, about 20 people just did it spontaneously without changing their clothes. They just got in the water. It was like, whoa, okay, you know, you're going to have to go all the way home, but they didn't mind. So who knows what'll happen. But if you want to get baptized, sign up and come and be ready for that. And men, I'm going to tell you that the ladies had their day. We're having ours. June the 17th, I'm conducting a fathering workshop. It's called Great Dads. I've not done one here since 2002, so it's been a while, and we're due. I'm also doing it in the Dominican Republic on June the 2nd, and in Browning, Montana on June the 23rd. So 6,000 miles, and they're expecting over 100 men in the DR. That's double what we've ever had before. I found out this week those books, we're printing up books in Spanish at our expense, and they're about $6 a book. It's a little bigger expense than we had budgeted for. So if you'd like to help with that, that's a part of what the offering will be next Sunday, the 28th, to send the team to the DR. So enough about that. I really don't want to interrupt what's going on in the house right now. I don't like doing announcements and offering after worship. Because did you sense what was happening there in the atmosphere? It's like, wow. The miracle-working God is among us. So to honor him, I'm going to go straight into the word this morning and launch a new series. We spent the last several weeks talking about the upside-down tree. Remember that? That was our positioning message to describe where we are Unusual place, unusual position. And when I say leaves down, you say?
Roots up.
Leaves down?
Roots up.
Once more. Leaves down?
Roots up.
With gusto, leaves down?
Roots up.
It's the Marine way, right? That's how the Marines do it. Hoorah. So, this series is going to be the next step. This is, kind of now that we're here, what do we do? And that's exactly the title of the series. This is what we do. I love the fact that the VOV is on the front of the cover. Perfect today. Now we get to activate what we do. And over the next several weeks, it'll last through the summer. We'll talk about that specifically. Not everything will be unique to restoration. Some of it are things that other churches also do. But definitely it's a part of our DNA. And I want to make sure that we are clear about what we do with what God's given us and where we're at. The characteristics of this house. How many of you have heard or have done in your family a family like code of conduct or family mission statement where you list out, this is what it means to be a member of this family? Anybody done that? I think that's the coolest thing. That's one of the things guys will do in our workshop on the 17th. You determine who it is that you will be, and you measure your conduct by that, right? That's how you don't do it by the situation and decide then what you'll do. How many of you realize you decide ahead of time when you're being tempted by sin, you decide ahead of time what you're going to do? Because if you decide in the moment, you'll never do the right thing.
That's right.
You'll just do what you feel like doing. That's why you have to have a code of conduct, rules of etiquette for your house. So this is sort of like what it means to be a part of the restoration family. These are our code of conduct, our rules of etiquette. I heard Pastor Bill Johnson recently at a leadership event describe four pillars of their house, four cornerstones of faith. And I said, ooh, that's really good. And I'm sure he would give me permission to plagiarize. So I'm going to bring those four pillars to you today as a great way to start. As we're building this house, we're starting with these cornerstones, these four pillars. Definitely represents the DNA of who I believe God has called us to be. You can write them down in your notes in the worship guide. You can also get the notes. Zach provides those to you on a link every Sunday morning. If you're a Facebook follower or if you're a YouVersion user, you can grab those, always know where we're up to, and study after we leave the house. So, good idea. Number one, the first pillar of our house is this: God is good. Say it with me, God is good. We must begin there. That's where it all begins. Anything else apart from that is just religion. If you don't believe that God is good, why does the rest of this even matter? It's just something to do, right? It's like belonging to some club. We're not here to do club things. We're here to have the living God, the God of miracles, work in us and through us. And it all begins with the belief that God is good. And those who've been around him all say, all the time, right? Exactly. It's like God is always good. He doesn't know how to be anything else. That's his nature. He can't not be good. How's that for a double negative, Katie? It's like, that's it. That's who he is. It says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Sounds like a good God to me. Not just that he exists. You know, the devil acknowledges that God exists. But to believe that he rewards, that he is actively involved in the life of those who follow him, that's the belief that God is good, that he's good to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good to you. It's the truth. If you don't understand that, you will question everything that happens. You will question everything you don't understand if you don't have that question settled up front, that God is good. Pastor Bill says it's the cornerstone of all theology, and I think he's right. You must start there. So I'm just telling you today, if you doubt that, God wants to work on that today in you. He wants to firm up that pillar of your house. God is good. You don't have to doubt it. You don't. You know, I always feel like I'm repeating myself. You know, we've been pastoring in this city for 9 years now. And I repeat stories, not because I'm forgetful, but there are just moments in my life that are these standing pillars of you never forget, right? And when they speak to a point that you're making, it's like, I got to say this. Then when Krista and I were first married, by the way, if you want to see what we look like, check out her Facebook post today. We've been married 29 years, June the 12th, and she posted a picture from day one. It's like, I've changed a lot. I just want to say that. I have changed a lot. For the better, I might add. But, you know, we lost our first child within the first year of marriage. And I'll never forget that moment. You know, it's like we had to choose to believe that God was good. And it can't be based on what necessarily you see or what you feel. The truth is the truth. God is good. He just is. Despite what you see, I'm not making excuses for God. I'm saying we live in a world where bad things happen, right? Anybody else besides me had bad things happen? Does not change the fact that God is good. This is not the way he wanted the world to work. We broke it, right? God gave us the world and we broke it. Who broke it? We did. In the garden a long time ago. We got handed a broken world. Now, I believe by faith Jesus is the Lord of the earth. But guess what? He taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ain't there yet. That's why this is earth and that's heaven, right? But we're in the process of bringing heaven to earth. Wouldn't it be amazing if restoration was a place where people could experience heaven? Wouldn't it? That excites me. To create an atmosphere where people can experience heaven. In heaven where there is no sickness, no pain. Come on now. That gets me excited. I think people might want to come to a church like that. Where they experience the real plan from eternity between God and man in relationship. Perfect relationship. Now, as long as we're here on the planet, it's not going to be perfect. But I'm telling you, I'm willing to see the glass a little fuller. How about you? Come on now. We get to choose that. We get to choose to say, God is good. I don't care what my eyes see. In the worst situation, he's still good. I'm not going to blame God for everything I see. People say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? Guess what? He doesn't. We do that. By rejecting that, he even brought the remedy to the earth that we broke. It's not his fault if we reject it. Come on. That's right. All he can do is offer it. He's not looking for robots. That's right. He's looking for willing followers. Amen. Who don't do it because of obligation or duty, but because of a love relationship. Man. Bad things happen. God is good. But faith is required to make that pillar of your house solid. And I'm just telling you, if you get nothing else today, burn it into your brain. God is good. Put it on your mirror, your bathroom, wherever you'll see it, you know, in your refrigerator. God is good. I know you'll see it there. God is good. Listen to this. You'll only take risks where you believe God is good. Guys, I got to tell you, I feel this message so strong today. I just know this is the season we're in. It's like this moment in time. God needs us to get this because of where he wants to take us. God is good. If you don't believe that, you'll never take risks. You'll be afraid. Because what if he's not good? What if he lets me down? As long as those doubts exist, your pillar is a little shaky. God is good. He's good. You can relax. He's good. That's number one. Number two, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Okay, now, you know, I feel like I'm on some, you know, positive mental attitude talk show now. It's like, no. Just as true that God is good is the truth. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. Now I get it. That's a big challenge. That's a statement, right? But I believe it because the word says it. Luke chapter 1 verse 37, for with God nothing is or ever shall be impossible. Nothing. All you've got to do is look, read your Bible, right? Genesis to Revelation. He demonstrates, he proves over and over and over. You know, I guess I'm a people, right? So when I say people, I'm including me. I it's like, God delivers his children from slavery out of Egypt. He sets them free. They go up to the Red Sea. Moses and his chariots are on their tail. They freak out. Moses, why did you bring us here? We should have died in Egypt. And then what does God do? Parts the Red Sea. They escape. Okay, did you hear what I said? He parted the Red Sea. I mean, Lake Contrary would be a big deal, but the Red Sea, come on. And they go through on dry land, and then he swallows up the enemies. Perfect. And immediately, they start murmuring against God and against their leader. It's like, people, what else do you need to believe that God says, nothing's impossible for me? Nothing. We must have that as one of our pillars of belief, that nothing is impossible with God. If it's true, then I owe him a life of dreaming big. I owe that to him. Now, Krista can attest, that's just who I am. I'm a big dreamer. Then I saw her face. I'm a big dreamer. Sorry, I'm just kidding. A monkey moment. But you're all way too young. So I owe him a lifestyle of dreaming big. You know, theory, not scripture, theory. When we get to heaven, the scripture says he will wipe away all tears, which says that there's tears, right? He wouldn't wipe them away if there weren't any tears. I think some of the tears will be realization that we missed so much. Yes. We could have been a part of so much, and we just, for whatever reason, just backed off because we didn't believe that all things were possible. I want to partner with him in the biggest, hairiest dream you can imagine. Okay. That's beyond my imagination. That's what I want. I feel like to do anything less is like the children of Israel complaining after God delivered them through the Red Sea. A lifestyle of dreaming big, it liberates us to dream and explore, to know that nothing is impossible. Here's what I think. I think there's a reason why his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Because if he showed us the whole thing at once, we would freak out.
Yes.
Listen to Mrs. Doyle. We would freak out. Can I tell you this? 9 years ago, when we became pastors in this city, if we had known, and I don't say this because I'm complaining or say I wish it didn't happen, we would not have been brave enough. That's exactly right. We would not have had the courage. God is so gracious, right? His mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
You need mercy for today,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
You don't need to see all the way down the road. Just today. How about just today?
That's right.
Mercy
yes.
For the God for whom nothing is impossible.
That's right.
That's the kind of mercy I need. He'll take care of tomorrow.
That's right.
Today, I'm just taking another step.
Yep.
Boom. There we go. Just obedience. Just keep walking. It's okay. Nothing's impossible with him. It's good. Faith will only explore. Listen to this. Faith will only explore what revelation reveals. To the degree you have revelation that nothing is impossible, that's the degree that your faith will allow you to explore and to dream big. See, I'm looking at a bunch of big dreams right now. We are all big dreams in God's plan. He's got a lot more for you than you've ever seen yet or could imagine for your life. All we have to do is say, yes, I believe. You're the God of miracles. Nothing is impossible. I don't care what challenge you're facing right now. And I know some of us are facing some pretty big ones. Tonight you're going to hear mine. And together we will say, nothing is impossible. You're the God of miracles. God is good. Nothing is impossible. Number three, Jesus' blood paid for everything. Jesus' blood paid for everything. This is one of those so much bigger than me things that we're going to have to all take this on today, because we've been so religiousized in our lives. You know, we take communion, we talk about the blood, and we confess it, but do we really understand? Jesus' blood, Jesus' death on the cross paid for everything. Everything. See, now this is where theologians, and we start getting into debates. Really, everything? Now, come on. I was on staff of a church once that said physical healing is not included in the atonement. It's just soul healing. It's just, you know, forgiveness. Okay, we're good with that. Physical healing? I tell you what, I've just seen it happen too many times. I can't believe that if I want to, because it's just the truth. Jesus says in his word, 1 Peter 2:24, he, Jesus, personally carried our sins on his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice so that we might die to sin. So there's the sin issue. Becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, come on somebody, and live for righteousness. That's a part of the atonement from the cross. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. It was purchased on the cross. I see a lady right now who's healed by his wounds. Vicky Shipp should not be here right now. What are you doing here? Twice? By his wounds, you were healed. Yep. And you're here. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness. God is so good. You say, but yeah, but it doesn't happen all the time that way. It's like, listen, okay. There you go, children of Israel. After you've seen the Red Sea part. Come on, listen, here's the deal. What did I say the first point? We live in a world that isn't exactly the way God designed it to be. Heaven has not completely come to earth, but he wants to bring it to earth through you. And no situation that you're facing, including cancer, is impossible for him. I'm just going to stick it out there. And I've prayed for people who didn't get well. And I don't care, because God is good and nothing is impossible. And Jesus' blood paid for everything. Yes. And I'm going to still walk in that and believe it, no matter what my eyes see. I mean, let's face it, how bad would heaven be as the alternative? Come on. But my desire is to see that healing power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It takes more faith to believe that miracles aren't for today. After you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and see that he is a God of miracles, that nothing is impossible, who changed? Him or us? That would be us. Yeah. Because he's still a God of miracles. You know, and you say, well, but I've seen that manipulated. I've seen that abused. I've seen that counterfeited. People using it, you know, for gain. Like, okay, just because you've seen it abused and counterfeited doesn't mean it isn't real. That's right. Can I tell you this? Have you ever seen a counterfeit penny? Yeah. Have you ever? I've never seen a counterfeit penny. No. Counterfeit $20 bill, counterfeit $100 bill, seen those. In fact, we took some to the DR with us last year. Some of you in your offering to the DR gave us counterfeit money. I'm just telling you, you didn't know it, but when we got there, that's how it's like, you only counterfeit things that have value, right? So because miracles sometimes are counterfeited and people take advantage of it, means there's some value there. Means that there's something real and tangible. Otherwise, they wouldn't be counterfeiting it. The devil can do signs and wonders. You don't seek the signs and wonders. You seek the God who is the God of miracles. And you entrust your life to him. And you know that Jesus' blood paid for everything. And you commit your life to him. And you don't judge by what your eye sees. You know, sometimes, here's what I believe. Because of the blood of Jesus, because his blood paid for everything, it's impossible to pray and have nothing happen.
Think about that. It's impossible to pray and have nothing happen. You say, well, I've prayed and I've seen nothing happen. Well, you know, here's what happens when God answers prayer. Sometimes he gives you the big, full-blown oak tree all leafed out and all pretty and looking amazing. Sometimes he gives you the acorn. They're both oak trees, right?
That's right.
One's just in process. One's kind of hidden. One's going to take some time, some nurturing, some care, some trust. Doesn't validate the fact that Jesus' blood paid for everything, does it? We want the full-blown deal. Sometimes we get the acorn. And I'm okay with that. Because I know the process is for me. The process is for me. If we got everything we wanted instantly, boom, I'm not sure I would appreciate the fact that God needs to do some work in me. It's not all about getting everything I want. That's called sugar daddy God, right? I talk about sugar daddy God. I'm a good, good father who knows you, knows what you need, and only gives good gifts. And when you ask for a fish, guess what? He won't give you a snake. Someone say, praise God. I hate snakes. Sometimes I'm asking for them. I don't even know it. And I say, God, please. No snakes. Don't need that. Oh, wait. Right? Versus getting it now and ruining it. Because of the blood, it is impossible to pray and have nothing happen. How many times did Naaman in the Old Testament have to go wash in the Jordan before he was healed of leprosy? Bible scholars, seven times. You think about number three, he's like, seriously? I'm getting kind of pruny here. I think my pits are cleaning up. I think we're good. Let's just get on with it. Seven times. Our obedience, our faithfulness, our belief that he is good, and whatever he says, I'll take him at his word. That's how many times it took to march around Jericho too, right? Why didn't it fall the first time? Why wouldn't God do that? I don't know. Maybe they needed some aerobic exercise. Maybe they're, you know, a little too plump. But it was, they got their Fitbits on. They're getting their steps in. It was obedience. It was obedience. Thank you, Kim. It was obedience to God, which is that's the point, right? To obey is better than sacrifice, he says. The blind man at Bethsaida. Now we're talking about Jesus, right? Jesus spits in the dude's eyes. How unorthodox is that? Say, Lord, don't let Pastor Tim get that revelation. Don't want that. Jesus spits in the guy's eyes who's blind. Doesn't work. He can only see fuzzy trees walking around, right? Jesus, well, let's do it again. Lays his hands on the man's eyes, and then he's healed. If Jesus practiced the process, I kind of think maybe we could do that too. Process, don't diss the process. Process is important. It's in the process that our motives, our heart, are purified. Sometimes we're forced to trust Jesus in the process. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the first thing he did, he took that little boy's lunch. And what did he do? He gave thanks. And after he gave thanks, 5,000 people, men, plus their families, were fed. Something important about giving thanks. Even when you haven't seen the full-blown oak tree yet, you're still giving thanks. Come on, there's revelation there. You give thanks. It's what you do. Because God is good. And nothing is impossible for him. And Jesus' blood paid for everything. I'm going to give you just a short list. I want to boost your faith this morning. That Jesus' blood paid for everything. I'm just going to give you a short list here. It would take us the rest of our natural lives to exhaust the benefits of the cross. But just listen to a few this morning. Let it build your faith. Because of the blood of Jesus, sin is remitted. His blood gives life to those who receive it. It causes us to dwell in Christ and Christ in us. It's the means by which Jesus purchased the church. The means by which Jesus becomes our atonement through faith. It justifies us and saves us from wrath. It redeems us. It brings those who were far away from God near to Him. It grants us the forgiveness of sin. It brings peace and reconciliation with God. It obtains eternal redemption for us. It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's the means by which we enter into the most holy place with boldness. It speaks a better word on our behalf. It sanctifies us. It makes us complete for every good work. It cleanses us from all sin. It bears witness in the earth. It's the means by which Jesus washes us and the means by which we overcome the accuser of the brethren. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Someone say, thank you, God, for the work of the cross and your blood that paid for everything. Everything. Say it with me. Jesus' blood paid for everything. Do you believe it? Then let's activate our faith this morning. I'm going to serve communion to you right here in the middle of the message. Because the communion cup is our symbol of the blood of Jesus, right? Now, restoration, we don't teach that, you know, that the juice becomes the blood. That's not our theology, but it represents. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And at Passover, interesting, this is the feast coming up, the Feast of Shavuot, which is associated with Pentecost. Shavuot, in the Jewish culture. How many of you know that our Christian faith has Jewish roots?
Yes.
You serve a Jewish Savior. Yes. I serve a Jewish Savior. It's not how the song goes. But we can look at the things of the Jewish faith and see signs and symbols like this communion cup. Shavuot, when the church was born at Pentecost, Shavuot represents the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. After they crossed through the Red Sea, God offers them a covenant. Here's my word, if you'll receive it. So that's what's happening today, right? God's saying, here's my word, here's my truth, if you'll receive it. It's just like the marriage feast. It's like the bridegroom, as we've taught before, offering the cup to his chosen and saying, will you have me? And her acceptance of the proposal was taking the cup. So as these trays pass in front of you, go ahead, guys, and begin serving. There's two cups together. One has juice, one has bread. If you're saying yes to him today, take the cups. If you've never said yes to Jesus before, you can do that right now. You can say yes to the proposal. You can say yes to the truth that Jesus' blood paid for everything. I've never ever done communion quite like this before, and I kind of like it because it is our activation to what I've just taught. You can shake your head, yes, I believe that. Oftentimes we walk out of here and forget what we said we believed. I'm hoping that today, by the receiving literally of the juice and the bread, we remember what Jesus did with his disciples at Passover. When they sat at table and Jesus said, listen to this, he said, I have earnestly desired to have this Passover with you. I'm about to go to the cross. They didn't understand any of this, right? It's like going right over their head. We get it now. They were like, what? It's just Passover meal. What are you talking about? Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Once you get your cups, would you take your bread? By the way, communion and restoration, as always, is gluten-free. It's my little commercial on the side there. Just for those of you who that's a deal for. Jesus said, this is my body. Take and eat. Pass the bread around. He broke it, right? They literally, physically grabbed a piece of bread. They're taking into themselves this promise that Jesus said, my body will be broken for you. On this side of the cross, we can say his body was broken for me. In fact, let's make that a confession. Say it with me. His body was broken for me. Let's take it. You got to stand to your feet for this next part. I know the bread and the juice are both important, but there's something about the cup that just makes me super aware. I guess because it's liquid and it's red and it looks like blood. I just imagine being at the foot of his cross and watching this horrific scene, seeing the blood flow down as some of his disciples did, the ones that stuck around, and realizing that that blood was shed for me. He said, this is my covenant, the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And he passed the cup around, just like the bridegroom does to his beloved, in essence saying, will you have me? And that's the proposal. Jesus' blood paid for everything. If you believe that, then you're making a covenant with God to say, this is my faith. I'm standing on it despite what my eyes see. I don't have to have evidence. My evidence was already given on that cross. If you're accepting his proposal, would you take the cup this morning? Thank you, Lord. Let's just spend a moment. Let that kind of sink in today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Revelation today, God, we pray. Jesus' blood paid for everything. I think if we believe that, it would change the way that we live. Yes, Lord. Because we believe, we act on our faith. So I just, today, felt like as we were preparing for this time, just want to know if there's anyone here that needs a touch in their physical body. You need a miracle from God. You and he know what it is. We all don't have to know. But if you need a touch, if you need a touch from heaven, you need heaven to invade earth in your situation, whether it's a physical issue, emotional issue, relational issue, financial issue. Jesus' blood paid for it all. Lift your hand if you are in need of a touch like that today. Now, church, I want you to look around and see who's got their hand raised, and I want you to go to them. If you're nearby, just put a hand on them. You don't need anybody special to pray for you. You need what the cross brought. You need the remedy of the cross. That Jesus' blood paid for it all. Church, I want you to pray now. You pray for that person that you're touching now. Make sure no one's standing alone. You pray. Ask God to intervene on their behalf. God of miracles. God of signs and wonders. God for whom nothing is impossible. Come on, pray, church. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray your healing into bodies that are broken today. We say, line up with the word of the Lord. By his wounds, you were healed. The healing power of Jesus now. Fire fall in this house, I pray. Refiner's fire, cleansing fire, healing fire. Pray for kidneys, Lord, right now that are not functioning well. In the name of Jesus. We say, be whole in Jesus' name. those that are struggling with issues of blood, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're correcting blood chemistry even now as we speak, as we pray, in Jesus' name. For mental torment, in the name of Jesus, we stop the mouths of the accuser of the brethren right now, and we say no more lies, no more untruth, no more fear or words of you're not worthy, you're not important, you don't belong. God, we stop those lies. We neutralize the effects of the evil one in Jesus' name, because the blood paid for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're being prayed for a physical problem, just would encourage you to do something maybe you couldn't do before. If you've got something going on in your back, maybe your shoulder, let's begin to see. I believe the Lord's touching some people today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healing is the children's bread. He delights in serving it. Thank you, Lord. How many of you could say you're feeling a touch from heaven today? Just lift your hand. Let me see you. Thank you, Lord. Look around. God's moving. So good. So good. Amen. You can have a seat. We're going to learn how to move in that mantle of miracles, signs, and wonders. Just give me grace, okay? I'm learning too. But I believe that this is to be a house. In fact, it's been said of us that just like that pool that was next door, the people walk into this house, the pool of Bethesda, where the sick and the lame were all around it. They came there for some stirring of the waters. I believe the Lord wants to make this a house of healing. Physical healing, relational healing, you name it. Because everything was paid for at the cross. It's good. Number four, final one. This is important that you get this one too. You are significant. Your life is significant. I'm significant. You're significant. We corporately are significant. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are significant. It's the truth. God knows you. He sees you. I just got to say, I don't believe anyone is here today by accident. You're here because God chose you. He picked you. He led you here, whether you knew it or not. If we knew how much we were loved, I know it would change the way we live and the way we treat people around us. Because oftentimes we act out of our own insecurity, our fear that people will reject us or that we don't quite measure up. And that doesn't come from your Father in heaven. Matthew 10:29, Jesus said, are not two little sparrows, come on, two little sparrows sold for a copper coin, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But even the very hairs of your head, it's almost like a joke, right? Even the very hairs of your head, even though there aren't any, there's follicles, I know there's follicles, are all numbered. For the Father is sovereign and has complete knowledge. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, the one who confesses and acknowledges me before men as Lord and Savior, affirming a state of oneness with me, that one I will also confess and acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. You just confessed him a minute ago by taking communion. Guess what Jesus is doing right now? He's acknowledging you before his Father in heaven. Your name is being mentioned in heaven right now. You're like a big deal. I want to say what God wants to do at Restoration is a big deal. I think heaven's talking about it. Not because we're all that and we're so special and we're better than anybody else. Get rid of that. But he wants to do something here. He wants heaven to be revealed here too. And our city needs it, right? We need it, and our city needs it. I heard a statistic the other day, and I'll have to remember where I heard it so I can give it credit. I don't think I can. And I'll probably even mess up the numbers. But right here in St. Joseph, I want to say in the last couple of months, and I heard this statistic about a month ago. Recently, is that good? Recently, in our city, there have been at least 4 teenage suicides. Teenagers taking their own lives. That's not heaven on earth. And that's apart from the accident that took those 4 young men. I'm not satisfied with that. People are too significant. Jesus died on that cross for every one of them. How dare we not help them know how valuable they are? Help them to see how significant their life is. We won't do that if we don't know it ourselves. What did he say? Anyone who confesses and acknowledges me before men. Means we got to tell it. We got to take these 4 corners, these 4 foundation stones, and live it. And let it be seen in what we do and what we say and how we treat people. Maybe they'll believe they're significant if we show them that. Instead of being critical and gossiping about people, they really need someone to love them. Could it be that you think too little of yourself? Could that be the reason why you're not stepping forward? Pastor Bill said this, I thought, so good. A heightened awareness of your personal significance will cause you to serve well. You won't serve other people if you don't feel significant. You'll think, what I have to offer just isn't that great. I won't make a difference. They don't really need me. That's a lie. The body's missing something when you're not serving. Pastor Ray described it like God is building his house, right? But not brick by brick, because bricks are all uniform and, you know, all the same. He's making us as living stones, the scripture says. And stones all have unique shapes and sizes. And if you're building a stone structure, only one stone will fit this particular hole. Only one. There isn't like 15 bricks I could pull and stick into that. There's only one unique shape that will fit that hole. You're the only you that ever was or ever will be. You're it. You're significant. And we would be missing something if it weren't for you stepping up and serving. Pastor Bill says we serve with the heart of a king. Jesus wasn't too great to serve. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. We serve with the heart of a king, and we rule with the heart of a servant. I just want to say, some of you are afraid to rule. You're afraid to step up and lead because you don't think you can do it. And I'm telling you, you were made for this. A servant, yes, but I'm also saying, I'm looking at a room full of leaders right now. And if Restoration is going to be the church that we're supposed to be, it's going to take a whole lot of leaders. And every one of you, if you've known Jesus more than 5 minutes, you can lead someone else. You can just show them the steps that you took, right? Well, here's what he did for me. One step at a time, right? You can show them that. That makes you a leader. You can help others find the same significance, the same love and acceptance, the same relationship that you've come into the knowledge of just by your leading. Because I am significant in his eyes, I owe him a lifestyle of extraordinary trust, knowing that God is good and nothing is impossible. Jesus' blood paid for everything, and I am significant. Those are the pillars God can use to build a kick butt life with and a kick devil tail church. And I think he wants to do it in us and through us. Just stand to your feet this morning. See, I'll guarantee you one thing. We can acknowledge those four cornerstones. And you can say, yeah, but I've tried that before and I failed. Can I just tell you this? Failure is not an option. It's required. You're going to blow it once in a while because you're risking. If you're going to risk, yeah, you're going to encounter some disappointments. And you're going to try some things and you're going to have to back up and say, well, that didn't work so well. Here's what I want you to know. Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb, it took him 1,000 tries before he got it right. A reporter asked him, he said, so what did it feel like to fail 1,000 times? He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. My invention took 1,000 steps to be successful. Sometimes it's a journey of 1,000 steps, but what if he had given up at 998, right? I just want you to know that I'm not afraid to try whatever I feel God leading us to do. Sometimes it's not going to make sense to the natural mind. Even people around us are going to say, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing. You know, you're not here to please people. Now, you don't go do stupid things. God would not call you to do stupid things. But your destiny, your call in life, not only do you have God as your champion, but you've got a whole lot of people around you. And we're not just cheering you on. We're walking with you. We're all walking the journey together. And when we fail, we don't cannibalize our own wounded. We say, come on, let's get back up and do this together. Let's try this again. That's the kind of thing that God can use to encourage people who feel like failures. And we say, welcome to the crowd, man. I'd rather fail at trying something great than succeed at locking myself in a closet and just letting life happen without my involvement. Are you hearing me today? Okay, I've driven home enough today. Let's just pray. Lord, today you've done a wonderful work in this house. Lord, you visited us in such a sovereign way. You've demonstrated your goodness, Lord. You've filled us with the knowledge that nothing is impossible. You've reminded us that your blood, Jesus, paid for everything. And you want to assure us that we are significant to you. Lord, I thank you that today these cornerstones aren't just an outline and a teaching, but they're a life that we can build together, individually, as a family, corporately, as a body. Lord, St. Joseph is worth a church that understands these truths and can help lead others into it. So God, we say, make us that church. Would you just say that with me? Say, make us that church. Make us that church, God. We're available. We're willing. The song that David's playing, I've been in my mind, it's Matt's song. I will follow. I will follow. Go where you lead me. Sing it. I will follow. I will follow. Go where you lead me. Sing it again. I will follow. I will follow. Go where you lead me. Yes, Lord. God, that you're inviting us to follow you. Farther up, deeper in, not to be satisfied on the shore. Give us courage, Lord. Give us faith. Help us to encourage one another. We're running a race. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You meet us at right where we're at the pace we're at. You're not displeased. You're just saying, come on, there's more. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's more. God, I thank you that your eye is on this city and that St. Joseph will be a place where people can experience heaven on earth. And I even laugh as I say that, God, because that's not the testimony of most people. And that's why you want to do it, just to prove that you can. And because you love people that much, you've not forgotten us. You've not passed us by. You want to make St. Joseph the talk of the nation. Surely God is in that place. We just want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, including this place right here where we stand today. In Jesus' name. If you agree, let's applaud heaven today. Say amen. Say it really loud. Say amen. So God hears and the enemy hears it too.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.